From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The FBI today displayed a metal collar that was around the neck of Brian Douglas Wells when he was killed by a bomb in suburban Erie, Pennsylvania last Thursday. Wells had robbed a bank, was arrested, and told police that he'd acted under duress and that the bomb had a timer on it and was about to go off, as it did. Today, local police, state police, and the FBI, among others, briefed reporters in Erie. Among those reporters, Cindy Lash of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, who joins us now. And Cindy Lash, why did the authorities release, as they did, a picture of this metal collar that evidently affixed the bomb to the body of Brian Douglas Wells?
Actually, they released photographs of two things, one piece of it being the collar, the other piece of it being the, sort of a brick-like object that had been attached to the collar that actually contained the explosive portion. They released these photographs in hopes that someone would recognize something about this device that might prompt them to come forward and give investigators some idea of who made this thing and where to go with the case.
The mystery, I gather, is who affixed this collar to Mr. Wells. Mr. Wells was a pizza delivery man, and that seems to offer some clues as to his whereabouts, at least, before the bank robbery.
He had been dispatched to deliver a pizza to a remote location outside of Erie. It had turned out to be not even a correct address. It was a rural road, dead-ended into gravel, out near a television transmission tower outside of the city. What happened after that, no one knows until he turns up at the bank again with this thing affixed to his neck.
Do you get the impression that the authorities generally accept the theory that he was acting under duress and that somebody had planned this? This was not some elaborate and horrible suicide, let's say.
I'm not sure it's safe to say that or to make that assumption at this point. FBI investigators talked this morning about how they have different teams investigating different scenarios that could have happened here. They are not saying or they're not sure if this was a case where Mr. Wells was part of this plot, whether he was acting alone or with someone else, or whether he was just a hapless victim here who was taken under somebody's control and forced into a terrible situation.
Another obvious piece of evidence that you'd think would help in this would be the bank robbery note, which I gather was quite extensive, the note that he carried into the bank.
Actually, there were two notes. There was a note that Mr. Wells carried to the bank with him. There was a second note that law enforcement said today was found in his car after he was killed. They are not releasing the contents or even the gist of the notes. They said they are not even sure who has written them at this point.
What did they say about the fact that Mr. Wells, after he had been arrested, was asking the police, why aren't you helping to disarm the bomb? Why aren't you helping to liberate me from this?
I think that there is some sensitivity here and also some great regret that they were not able to do more for Mr. Wells. I'm sure I would feel that way if I were in that situation. On the other hand, as terrible as this situation was, I'm not sure that sending in people who didn't know maybe what they were doing about defusing it would have been a wise idea, given that you could have had a lot of other people injured.
Is there a bomb squad nearby? Are there trained police officers who might have been able to do this?
Yes, but there was some distance between where their headquarters is and where Mr. Wells was actually surrounded by the state police. And also, this happened in a relatively quick period of time. The bank robbery was reported at 2:40 p.m., and I believe he died about a quarter past 3. So by the time they were notified and were on their way, there wasn't really all that much time that had passed here.
Well, Cindy Lash, thank you very much for talking with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Reporter Cindy Lash of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette speaking to us from Erie, Pennsylvania.